Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Paul Kakamo, founder of UP2Views, a national coalition of community sports programs that teach young athletes life lessons. He's also president of America Scores, a school-based soccer and literacy program. I'm also here with my brother, mental game expert Dr. Patrick Cohn. Today's topic, the life lessons kids learn in sports.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Patrick and Paul.
Hi, Paul, Lisa.
Paul, let's talk a little bit about the benefits of sports first. You had some interesting statistics, I believe, about that, about young athletes being higher achievers and other issues.
Well, yeah, and let me just correct from the beginning here. The coalition's called Up to Us. So it's very easy to remember with the number two.
Oh boy, okay.
No problem, because we're so used to acronyms like NRYCA, so I can see pronouncing it like an acronym at first, like an acronym, but it is Up to Us. And it was started because of sports organizations across the country that use sports to get at these other outcomes and that know that these other outcomes are achievable through sports, that sports itself is more than a game. It's really a set of life lessons that a kid growing up without is really disadvantaged. And we know that because we know that kids who participate in sports, they tend to do, they attend school more. They're more community-minded and civic-minded. They tend to get in less trouble. And they also tend to do more successful in the workplace. And I think a lot of that is, when you really think about it, especially the workplace statistic, and they've done studies on, like, bank-level vice presidents on upward, you know, very high-ranking corporate leaders in this country, and they found out that the numbers of them who made the honor roll was, in one particular study, was less than 20%, but those who played sports were upwards of 70 and 80%. And it's because of the kind of things that we intuitively know come from sports, which is that kids learn to work together. They learn leadership skills. They learn a sense of discipline. They learn communication skills. And all of those things are pretty essential to success in the workplace. So I think we see a lot of corollaries, and we're starting to put more and more studies behind this, too, on whether or not by, especially in low-income communities, by denying kids, by not funding sports opportunities for them, are we really further putting those kids at a disadvantage to kids who have these opportunities in more affluent communities?
Interesting. Now, there are a lot of programs like that here in Portland, by the way. I'm sure you've connected with them. There's one or two that I can think of right off the bat that focus on that issue. Now, any other benefits that you would talk about? Because we started out talking a little bit about benefits.
I think I mentioned there's an academic benefit, but I would also say an important one there it's completely tied into the academic, just being able to perform and having a sense of discipline from sports that we're seeing is somehow correlated to having a sense of doing homework and meeting the grade. But there's also just the sense of attachment to schools that comes with sports that keeps kids in school. And that's a growing problem in this country. We're seeing 50% of our kids in urban public schools that have large populations, urban centers, 50% of their public school youth drop out before high school and never get a degree. And that's a pretty alarming statistic. So when you start to see that kids develop an affiliation with school in a very positive way, through these after-school activities where sports tend to be played, then you start to see that, you know, we may be banging our heads as educators, like how do we reverse this terrible dropout rate, but it may have to do with what's going on in the playgrounds in the school, not necessarily what's going on in the school itself. And so sports is just an essential tool in those playgrounds towards addressing this issue. Another issue is, and again, I had mentioned that kids' general behavior, civic-mindedness, but we're also seeing that generally when it comes to having positive peer affiliations in sports, that those are lessons that they translate towards the community, but also towards each other, and that we can reduce incidences of juvenile crime. And many of us all know the statistic that that really peaks during after school hours, but it also peaks because children tend to find that the only group they can belong to in communities that are more under-resourced are, you know, are gangs, and that therefore, what's the alternative out there? I mean, where is a positive peer setting where they can develop affiliations that aren't negative like that? And sports, again, comes in as a sort of essential tool there because it's a natural. It's fun, which is the reason why kids sometimes get involved in troubling paths, is because at least initially it seems fun to them. Well, why not say, wait, playing sports is a tried and true fun activity, and this can lead you on a positive path. So we are seeing that kids in sports tend to stay away from gang activities and other areas of youth violence. And I would say that we, depending on where you are, and certainly in Portland, we're seeing it in the news more and more that kids are getting involved in gang activities. It is nationwide becoming an increasing problem. We're seeing levels of gang participation at young people as young as 12 years old. The numbers are now almost about 1 million recruits this past year, according to the Department of Justice. So we need to get something out there to give the kids another path.
Paul, one of the trends that I'm seeing out there with some of the high-level students that I work with is homeschooling. So parents are pulling kids out of school so that they can do double practices, you know, and they can spend more time training. Do you have any statistics about how that's affecting kids?
I don't, and I know that homeschooling is an increasing trend now in the country, and it's just starting to get recognition too for the fact. I believe it's I'm not sure the percentage of kids who are now being homeschooled, but it has been on the rise. And through our coalition work, are trying to do a lot of outreach to kids who aren't necessarily in the school systems themselves. And that's why we have a lot of community-based programs. And I think even homeschool parents, and I recently was reading an article that was an interview with a bunch of parents who are homeschooling their children from across the country. And even they say that, you know, there's no disadvantage certainly to the kids academically. They do it because they see it as an advantage to putting their kid in their respective school system, but that they do look for other activities for the kid to socialize because that's such a primary part of growing up. And once again, you know, while I see that trend growing, I think that's all the more important that we have to be sure that there's organized youth sports leagues to teach kids the values that come with socialization that they may not be getting in a homeschool setting.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I actually have some friends who homeschool, and they definitely look for ways to socialize, and sports is definitely, you know, top on their list. Now, Paul, you had some interesting suggestions for coaches and how to foster motivation and confidence. Can you talk a little bit about them? The first one was, you know, to focus more on self-improvement than on comparing. And I was hoping you could say a little bit about that.
Yeah, we know this for sure. When we do studies, even of professional athletes, and, you know, these are athletes top of their field. I mean, it's so difficult to become a professional athlete despite every kid's dream when they get engaged in sports. And yet, even those who've achieved that level, when they're asked who were the coaches that made an impact in their life, they tend to point out coaches who taught them lessons about life over coaches who taught them how to be great athletes. And that has actually been studied across the board. So even for adults who play a sport recreationally and are not even professional, they'll still say, I remember that coach in fourth grade who reminded me not to get so angry and to learn how to diffuse my negative emotions through physical activity, or taught me that, hey, just like we lost this game, you're going to lose contracts when you're in business someday. And, you know, how to turn around, or you're going to not do as good as someone else on a test tomorrow. And how to turn around those feelings and realize that, but you compare, how did you do today versus how you did yesterday? And this is more about self-improvement and measuring against where you were yesterday than measuring against others. And it's kind of like life lessons like that, that people remember as adults, and they remember who taught them. And those tend to be coaches who focus on youth development versus coaches that focus on the sort of classic alternative in coaching, which is win, win, win. And so it's really important for coaches, and if they want that child who they're coaching a season to be impacted for the rest of their life, it's really important that they focus on the youth development opportunity, the chance to pull that kid aside and say, you know, what did we learn? What did you learn today? And ask him something other, and talk to him about something other than just the skill mastery. And when they do master a skill, to say, you're doing so much better this week from when you started, versus you're not as good as John over there, who's the best on the team. Because kids really internalize that kind of messaging, and based on how they internalize it, they may choose to continue or discontinue, one, playing sports, and two, being physically active in their whole life. And both of those are essential, given that one out of three kids is now overweight or obese in this country. So that's probably the most important thing for a coach. The second thing is to point out to kids, and there's so many ways to do that. And in most of the programs that I work with, the kids don't start off running right on the field. They start off in a circle talking to each other about everything from what kind of values do they think make a great team. Before we get out on that field and play as a team, let's talk about it. Let's think about it. What's important? To things like, hey, you know, I noticed yesterday as the coach, I noticed some of you guys were tired. Some of you girls were tired. What do you think makes you tired when you're playing sports? And, you know, and that introduces all the values of nutrition and hydration and really, important aspects that help a kid, again, become not just a great athlete, but a successful and healthy adult. So it's also important to sort of take the lessons that kids learn and not necessarily bring them right to the field, but sit them down outside of the field and have kids talk about those lessons in a larger context before they even begin playing the sport.
Well, Paul, you've been very helpful, and I look forward to meeting you when you come to Portland and talking more with you.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I just wanted to say that to all these points, we are trying to recruit coaches across America at our website, which is uptous.org. Up2us.org. We have about 200 youth sports organizations that all have a focus on youth development, all of them serving mostly predominantly disadvantaged kids who otherwise don't have coaches in their communities. So if anybody has time and they want to volunteer and they don't think they want to be a tutor because they can't remember that trigonometry class they had to learn in high school now that they're an adult, but they do remember how to play ball, then come to www.uptous.org and make a difference with one of our kids.
Wow. Well, thanks for joining us. One quick question on that. So you work with mostly disadvantaged kids, meaning economically disadvantaged and physically disadvantaged?
Yeah, it's mostly economically disadvantaged kids.
Okay.
So they are in communities that are low-income communities where there are few, and I would say in many of the communities when there are no organized sports programs.
Okay.
So they really need a coach in their life.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.